The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, so we want to officially welcome you to the podcast today. Again, we're going to finish our fourth and final series here on the warning of Noah to the final generation. The warning of Noah to the final generation. So let's get it. As you know, I want to do a little bit of a recap on this. In the first, on the first series, we talked about the sons of God or the angels that held not their first estate. They fell from heaven. They defied heaven's mandate. They did something what the Lord called abominable or an abomination unto him. They came down and they went into the daughters of men and they bore giants or Nephilims in those days. And those giants were responsible for corrupting mankind, corrupting the earth, causing bloodshed and causing all kinds of disruption, not only to humanity, but to the beasts and the animals of the field and the birds of the air. Then in the second message of this series, we talked about the offspring, which was, again, the giants or the Nephilim. We went into details on that. We talked about, again, you need to go watch that or listen to that, whatever you prefer. And you can catch up with that. But we talked about how the spirits of those giants, when those giants died in the earth, their spirits remain here on earth and become what I believe. I agree with the early church fathers and the early church writings and Jewish history and different writings on this, that these spirits of these hybrids or these demigods, if you would, became evil spirits that we deal with today in the earth. That was on number two. On Monday's segment, which was the third segment we did, the third installment of this series, we talked about how in the days of Noah, they were mingling the seed of, and they were mingling the genes or the genetic makeover of animals, and they were mingling them with other animals. And even if you go into detail on this and study this, they even begin to mingle these giants with the beast of the earth. And there was all kinds of crazy. And really, this is where the birth of mythology came from, such as like minotaurs that were half horse and half man and different mythological beings that we read about and we study about in history. This is where I believe all this stemmed from. So today on today's message, I want to talk about the warning of Noah to the final generation. Now we know as a result of the combination of all these things, the Lord spoke to Noah and said, "The end of all flesh has come to me. I will destroy the earth with a great deluge, with a great flood, and it will destroy all living creatures in which has the breath of life in its nostrils." We're talking about humanity. We're talking about the birds of the air, the beasts of the field, the cattle, the whole, the everything that was corrupted on the earth. And he said he would do it with a great flood. And then the Bible says that man's years shall not, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for his years shall be 120. Now I've always read that and thought that at one time it was the average lifespan of humanity at that time pre-flood was 120 years. And I'm sure a lot of you've heard that, but I'm going to show you something today that's going to give you new insight into what actually God meant when he said that my spirit shall not always strive with man, but his days shall be 120 years. So now we get into, we're going to be pulling from some books here. Again, we're going to use scripture, but I'm also going to pull from the book of Yasher and the book of Enoch. These again, you need to go back and watch the early messages on this series. These books were quoted by the early church fathers. The book of Enoch was mentioned in the book of Jude. The book of Yasher was mentioned in the Old Testament in two different books in your Bible in the Old Testament. And these is what I would consider Jewish history. It's kind of like Josephus, the historian in his day, was an eyewitness to the destruction of the temple and several events that took place prior to and leading up to the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. Okay, so I hope everybody understands that. So I want to go to the book of Yasher, chapter 5, verse 5, and then we're going to hop down here and I'm going to show you some stuff out of Yasher 5 and Yasher chapter 6. This is going to kind of fill in the gaps and give you more detail on the conditions, the climate, and details of the flood of Noah. Watch this. This is Yasher 5. And again, if you guys are watching this by YouTube, you're going to see these quotes come up on your screen. And I understand you guys watching and listening by Facebook and podcast can't see that, but that's why I always want to encourage you. If you're taking notes, go back and watch this on the YouTube archive so you can pull up those scriptures or those references, if you would. Yasher 5:5. This is interesting. And all who followed the Lord died in those days before they saw the evil which God declared to do upon the earth. Remember this, because I'm going to go back to this in just a minute. Then we skip down here to Yasher 5, chapter 5, verses 7 and 11. Quote, "Speak, yea, and proclaim to the sons of men, saying, thus says the Lord, return from your evil ways and forsake your works, and the Lord will repent of the evil that he has declared to do to you, so that it shall not come to pass. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I give you a period of 120 years. Did you hear? There's that 120 mark. Now, in your Bible, in the book of Genesis, again, God says, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for his days shall be 120 years. Why did he say 120 years? Well, again, if you go back to the book of Yasher, he tells you, according I believe it was inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the Lord gave a warning to Noah's generation. Are you listening to me? He says, I'm giving you a space to repent. If you will repent and return from your evil ways and forsake your works, then the Lord says, I will repent of the evil that I'm going to do to you, and it will not come to pass. Now, before you say, well, I don't know if I believe that. If you remember the story of Jonah, when Jonah showed up at Nineveh, God gave a word to Jonah to speak to the people of Nineveh. And it was thus saith the Lord, because Nineveh was a prophet, just like Noah was a prophet. And he spoke to Nineveh, or to Jonah, I'm sorry, not Nineveh. He spoke to Jonah to tell Nineveh, you have 40 days to repent. And the Lord says, and if you will repent and turn back to me, I will relent of the disaster in which I have fashioned against you. And it's interesting to use the word, or the number 40, because we know that for 40 days and 40 nights, it rained, the fountains of the deep burst open, the rain came down from heaven for the first time ever in creation, because before that, there was a mist that came up out of the garden. So this was totally abnormal. It was unusual. It was unheard of. And it was a judgment. It was a sign of judgment. And it was for 40 days and 40 nights it did this. So the number 40 is the number of testing. It's the number of judgment. Jesus was led into the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights to be tempted of the devil. Again, you have this 40 that was used in the story of Jonah there in Nineveh. You have the 40 days and 40 nights of the flood. So the number 40 is a number of judgment, a number of disaster, and a number of testing. So the Lord speaks to Noah to speak to the people. And he says, I will give you a space of 120 years. If you will turn to me and forsake your evil ways, then I will also turn away from the evil which I told you, and it shall not exist, saith the Lord. Now I'm going to read on. This is Yasher chapter 5, verses 7 and 11. And Noah and Methuselah spoke all the words of the Lord to the sons of men. So it wasn't just Noah, but it was Methuselah. These two men spoke, thus saith the Lord, and warned a generation that judgment was coming. Now, it's interesting to me that, again, if you go to the book of Genesis, it really highlights Noah, but it doesn't really put much emphasis on Methuselah or them working together. But it's interesting, if you go to Revelation chapter 11, this is in the future, there's coming not one, but two witnesses. And I'm not saying it's Noah and Methuselah, but again, If you want to know what God's going to do in the future, many times you go back and you look at the past. That's what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes. That which was is that which shall be. There's no new thing under the sun. And according to the word of God, it says that God shall establish his word by the testimony of two or more witnesses. So here you have Noah and Methuselah warning a generation that disaster's coming, judgment's coming. And then you go to Revelation 11 and God is going to send two witnesses. Some say it's Elijah and Enoch because neither one saw physical death. And some say it's Elijah and it's Moses because of the characteristics of these two witnesses. I don't have time to get into that. That's a whole other teaching in itself. But nevertheless, these two men, don't miss it. These two men, Revelation 11, future tense, will appear in Israel, in Jerusalem, and they will have power and authority that's granted to them from God himself. And they will proclaim to a generation the works of the Lord. And the Bible says that the Antichrist will slay them or kill them. And their bodies will lay in the streets for 3.5 days. But then God will raise them up. So again, let me go back to this. In the book of Yasher, it says that Noah, along with Methuselah, spoke all the words of the Lord to the sons of men day after day, constantly speaking to them. And how long was it? 120 years. 120 years. Let that soak in. And Yasher says, but the sons of men would not hearken unto them, nor would they incline their ears to their words, and they were stiff-necked. And the Lord granted them a period of 120 years, saying, quote, if they will return, then will God repent of the evil so as not to destroy the earth. That's Yasher 5, 7, and 11. So now I want to skip over, and we're going to go into Yasher 5:21. This is Yasher 5:21. And all the sons of men who knew the Lord died in that year before the Lord brought evil upon them. For the Lord willed them to die so as not to behold the evil that God was about to bring upon the brothers and relatives, as he had so declared to do so. Guys, this is a heavy revelation because, again, if God gives us a sneak preview through historical events of the past of what he's going to do in the future, that implies to me, according to Yasher, according to the book of Yasher, it implies to me that I will not be surprised when we see righteous men and women, prophets, teachers, godly men, godly watchmen. And Lord, I pray that I be found worthy to escape these things and found worthy to remain here and continue to preach the gospel as long as the Lord wills. But according to this pattern, God was allowing many of them to go on and be with the Lord. They were dying. They were passing away before the evil day. So this will answer a question. If you've ever wondered why it seems like a year after year after year, since probably around 2011, we've had so many who, what I call modern day watchmen and prophets, that have all died and gone on to be with the Lord. Now I can name a few. We're talking about Jack Van Impe. We're talking about the father, I believe, of Perry Stone. Fred Stone, I believe he was a real prophet of God. You had David Wilkerson that's went on to be with the Lord. Grant Jeffries has went on to be with the Lord. You had, there's some of these guys I didn't agree with. We didn't see eye to eye theologically or as far as the timeline of certain events, but they were still a brother in the Lord. They still preached the coming of the Lord. One of those was Irvin Baxter. Never had anything against him. We differ in our opinions of the rapture and the timing of that and this and that and the tribulation. But nevertheless, he was still, I would consider to be him, one of these watchmen. And again, he just recently passed and recently went on to be with the Lord. Yes, R.C. Sproul, or all these other men of God that have gone on to be with the Lord. So this really kind of brings an understanding or a clarity to this. Now, I want to go to the next chapter of, and I'm leading up to something here, guys. So just stick with me. Jasher 6, 11 through 12. And on that day, the Lord caused, now this is the day of the flood. Listen to this quote. On that day, the Lord caused the whole earth to shake. The whole earth shook and the sun darkened. Could be a possible solar eclipse there. And the foundations of the world raged. This is why they broke open and the fountains of the deep came. And the whole earth was moved violently. Now, some scholars and theologians, right there where it says the whole earth was moved violently, they emphatically believe that the earth experienced what was called a pole shift. The whole earth tilted on its axis. Kind of like in 2011, the Japanese earthquake and tsunami that actually caused the earth itself actually shifted axis. And I mean, we wouldn't have noticed it because it was so minute, but they said it actually shortened the days by a millisecond, or it was a fraction of time. I don't have that right in front of me, but I immediately thought of the word of God that says when Jesus talks about the end times in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, he talks about the coming, he talks about the increasing of the birth pangs of the Messiah, and he talks about the tribulation. He gets into the tribulation period, and he says if those days had not been shortened, no flesh would survive. So, and again, that earthquake in Japan that caused that tsunami, it also shifted the island of Japan. I think it was like 6 feet, the whole island shifted. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about, again, Jasher says the whole earth shifted. The whole earth shifted. And it says, or it was moved violently, and the lightning flashed and the thunder roared. Again, you got to remember, no one had ever seen anything like this. And all the fountains in the earth were broken up, such as was not known to the inhabitants before. Did you hear that? There was nobody that was living in those days that knew that there was fountains that existed in the deep. But we know through even science now will agree that there is fountains, or there is chambers under the earth that produce water. Wow. And God did this mighty act in order to terrify the sons of men, that there might be no more evil upon the earth. Listen to this. And still the sons of men would not return from their evil ways, and they increased the anger of the Lord at that time and did not even direct their hearts to all this. So listen, what am I talking about today? I'm talking about the message of Noah to a final generation. Friends, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I'm going to prove to you when we get to the end of this study that we are storing up wrath until the day of judgment. That's Romans chapter 1. We are storing up indignation. God is getting ready to pour out his indignation and his wrath. And we wonder why this is going to happen. Again, Jesus said, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man. You had righteous watchmen and prophets that were warning the civilization of that day. Repent of your evil ways. Turn from your sins. Turn from your abominable deeds. And repent and turn to the living God. And the Bible says that those people in that day were stiff-necked, hard-hearted, and they did not repent, even to the point when the entire earth began to shift on its axis, lightning flashing from heaven, fountains of the deep breaking open, and all hell breaking loose, excuse me. Even through all that, these people still did not repent. Wow. quote, and all the fountains of the deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And Noah and his household and all the living creatures that were with him came into the ark on account of the waters of the flood, and the Lord shut him in. Wow. And all the sons of men that were left upon the earth became exhausted through evil on account of the rain. For the waters were coming more violently upon the earth, and the animals and beasts were still surrounding the ark. This again, this is Yasher 6, 17 all the way to 25. And the sons of men assembled together about 700,000 men and women, and they came unto the ark of Noah, and they called to Noah, saying, quote, open for us, that we may come into thee and into the ark, and therefore we won't die. And Noah with a loud voice answered from the ark, saying, have you not all rebelled against the Lord and said that he does not exist? And therefore the Lord brought upon you this evil to destroy and cut you off from the face of the whole earth. Is not this thing that I spoke to you of 120 years back, and you would not hearken to the voice of the Lord? And now do you desire to live upon earth? And they said to Noah, quote, we are ready to return to the Lord. Only open for us that we may live and not die. And Noah answered to them and says, behold, now that you see the trouble of your souls, you wish to return to the Lord. Why did you return? Why didn't you not return during the 120 years, which the Lord granted to you as a determined period? My goodness, there's so much into this. And I'm going to go back up to this in just a minute. But now you come and tell me this on account of the troubles of your souls. Now also the Lord will not listen to you, neither will he give ear to you on this day, so that you will not now succeed in your wishes. And the sons of men approached in order to break into the ark, to come in on account of the rain, for they could not bear the rain upon them any longer. And the Lord sent, listen to this, all the beasts and animals that stood around the ark, and the beast overpowered the men and drove them from the ark. And every man went his way, and they again scattered themselves upon the face of the earth. Wow. Now, this was all... this account of this was all recorded in the book of Yasher. Now, why is this important, and how is this relevant to us today? Here's the answer. Again, you can see Jesus said, as it were, so shall it be. 120 years, guys, there was a voice coming from the prophets, voice coming from the watchmen, telling the people to get right with the Lord. 120 years. And these people laughed them to scorn. They ridiculed them. They were stiff-necked. They were hard-hardened. And they became dull-hearted. And their hearts became darkened. Read it in the book of Romans 1. It talks about this. Paul talked about this in Romans 1. Their foolish hearts, believing they were wise, they became fools. And they turned to idolatry, and they turned to everything else but God. And God gave them a, I want to read this again from the book of Yasher. Why did you not return when the Lord granted you a determined period? A determined period. So did you hear that? There was a determined period. The Lord gave them a space to repent. Did you know in the book of Revelation, it talks about Jezebel? It's a Jezebel spirit, because Jezebel was slain over there in Kings with Elijah the prophet. But her spirit, come on, the spirit that inspires the acts of Jezebel, the characteristics of Jezebel, is that spirit is alive and well when you get all the way over into the book of Revelation. And that spirit is seducing the prophets in the church. And God says, I'm giving Jezebel, who you have in your church, who's doing these things, and these people have not repented, I'm giving her a space to repent. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. You say, where's God at? They took Bible reading out of school. They took prayer out of school. They legalized abominations. They're doing this. They're doing that. Where's God? Where's the judgment? Where's the wrath? Where's the retribution? Where is God? Friends, God is still on the throne. And I'm going to tell you something. The reason why I'm teaching this and preaching this today is because you've got family members. You've got people you work with. You got people right here on your social media with you on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or podcast or whatever you're watching this. And they hear you talking about the Lord's coming. The Lord will split the eastern sky. He's coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God's going to bring judgment. They've heard, and here's what they'll say. I've heard that my whole life. My grandpa taught that. My daddy taught that. My grandma taught that. My mother taught that. And their kids taught that. I've heard this for 40 years, 60 years. I've heard, that's okay. Because Noah preached this and he made his face like flint and he preached for 120 years, and Methuselah was at his side to bear witness, because that's what God does. He says, out of the testimony of two or more witnesses, let every word be established. Can I tell you another reason why I believe Methuselah was there? Because there comes times as a watchman and as a prophet and as a one who is warning the people to repent, you're going to become weary in well-doing. Come on, Elijah the prophet. He defeated the 350 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and you'd think he would have a victory celebration. But then when word got back to him that Jezebel was after his head, he went and he hid in a cave and he was ready to die and said, God, I alone am left. Just take me out. I'm done. And God had to come and speak to him and tell him, you're not alone. I have a remnant that have not bowed their knee to Baal. And listen, I'm telling you, as we get closer and closer to this sovereign time frame, we call it the end of the church age, the end of the dispensation of grace. But the closer we get to that time frame, when that door closes, and you, if you want a picture of this, guys, go to Matthew 25. I don't have this in my notes right here, but I can give you a little bit from my head. In Matthew 25, there's a parable that Jesus gives, and it's in accordance to the coming of the Son of Man, or coming of the Son of God. He says it'll be like 10 virgins who are preparing themselves for the bridegroom, who is going to show up in an hour and a day they do not know. So the Bible says in the parable of the 10 virgins that all the virgins are asleep. All 10 were asleep and they were slumbered. But 5 had oil and 5 didn't. Now read it. Go and read in Matthew 25 what happened. It says, and then suddenly at midnight, at the midnight hour, the bridegroom appears and he's ready to take the bridegroom into his chambers. And the foolish virgins realize and come to the conclusion that they are not ready to enter into the chambers and shut the door. So what do? They go out and they try to find oil. Give me some of your oil. Give me some of your anointing. Give me some of your faith. I need some faith. I need this because I've not been stewarding this myself. I've not been in my own devotional time. I've not been praying. I've not been close to the Lord. I've not been honoring the Lord. I've not been serving him. I have not believed in his word. So at the last minute, these 5 foolish virgins, while they were out, the wise virgins went into the chambers and God, read it, Matthew 25, God shut the door. Just like in Noah's ark, it wasn't Noah that, oh, come on, somebody. Noah entered the ark, but it was not Noah that shut the door. It was God that shut the door. The virgins go into the chamber and God shut the door. What happened in Matthew 25 in the parable of the 10 virgins? The 5 virgins, the foolish virgins, I'm sorry, show up and they knock at the door and say, Lord, let us in. Is that not... And it, according to Yasher, 700,000 men and women came barging to the ark with the door shut, knocking on the ark. Let us in. And in Matthew 25, the Lord speaks and says, I don't know you. And Noah screams from the ark and says, you had a space to repent. You had a chance, and I cannot override the sovereignty of God, because when he, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost messing with me. He said, when he shuts the door, come on. The Bible says that God shall shut doors that no man can open. Somebody say, time is running out. Come on, say it again. So I don't care. I know we're not in church. I want you to say it to yourself. I want you to hear your own words. Say it. Time is running out. Now, I want to show you the conditions of humanity and how they hardened their heart. I showed you that in the days of Noah. Just right now, I just showed you that through the book of Yasher. And even Genesis talks about this. But did you know that this is no, again, that which was, come on, y'all should quote this by now, is that which shall be. Now we go, let me go to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 16, verses 1 through 11. This is John the Revelator said, quote, then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. By the way, this is the wrath of God. By the way, the first judgment that came was through a flood. The second judgment, according to the apostle Peter, is going to be a judgment, or a what theologians call a baptism of fire. It's going to purge the earth. So this is what we're getting into in Revelation, right here in Revelation 16. There is an angel. These angels are getting ready to pour out these bowls of the wrath of God upon earth. Listen to this. So the first, this is verse 2. So the first went out and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast. Did you hear that? So in Revelation 13, there's coming two men, the Antichrist and the false prophet. They together will implement a system in which you will not be able to buy, sell, or trade without having the mark, the name, or the number of the beast in your right hand or in your forehead. I know some of the newer translations say on, but I tend to stick to the 1611 King James that says, let me back up. Some of the newer translations, even the New King James Version says the mark will be on, O-N, on. But in the original language, even the oldest manuscripts, and I'm going to go back to the 1611 King James Version, it says in the right hand or in the forehead. So I'm going to safely stick with that. But watch this. Those who take this mark, not only, the Bible says they'll be damned to hell. In other words, if you take this mark of the beast, you have sworn your allegiance and your pledge to Satan and his kingdom, and you will be forever separated from eternity. So you don't want to take the mark. Now look, I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, but you know what? If I'm wrong and we're here through that, listen, then I don't want to take that mark, and you don't want to take that mark, because if we do, we're doomed. Okay. So not only is our soul damned to hell, but according to Revelation, where is this again? Hold on. I'm sorry. Revelation 16. Sorry. It says that those who have taken this mark will end up producing loathsome, or I think the King James says grievous sores will appear on their body where they've taken this mark. And those who worshiped his image, because that's in Revelation 13. There's an image that's going to be erected by the people commanded by the false prophet to worship the Antichrist. Okay. Then in verse 3, then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Wow. Then The third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of the water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water saying, quote, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and is to be, because you have judged these things, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. Don't miss it, guys. The reason why that judgment's coming is because of the shedding of innocent blood. I don't have time to get into that, but I could tell you that's why America is in grave danger, because we have been shedding blood, innocent blood, all the way from the time of Roe versus Wade. We're going into 50 years of shedding innocent blood, not only through that, but also, again, he says right here, through the blood of the saints and the prophets, those who have warned of judgment, but they've been slain. Now, we don't understand that here in America, but you go over to the Middle East and you go over to the places overseas, especially in the place called missionaries called the 1040 window, where there is harsh persecution. You go to China, they can understand the shedding of the blood of the saints and the prophets. But God is going to vindicate their blood just like he did Abel when Cain slew him, because the Bible says his blood's plural tense cried out from the earth and the Lord heard it. Why was it plural tense? Because your blood has DNA in it, and God sees not only your blood being shed, but he sees all the seed that would ever come from your bloodline. Your children and your children's children, four generations came out from Abel's blood when he was slain in the dirt. And this goes for every other righteous individual that's killed or slain. Because blood has a voice. The life of the flesh is in the what? The blood. Man. And I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. Now listen to this. Then we get down to verse 8 through 11. Watch this. So I want you to picture this. All this stuff happening. The mark of the beast, grievous sores being poured out or being manifesting on people that's taking the mark of the beast. You got waters turning to blood, turning bitter. You got all this stuff happening. And then in verse 8, then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat. And they blast, listen to this. So all this has happened. Listen, here's the response of humanity in Revelation, future tense. And they blaspheme the name of God who has power over these plagues. And they did not repent and give him glory. Verse 10. And then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. And his kingdom became full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. Wow. So again, I believe that we're seeing this. Lawlessness is abounding. The love of many is waxing cold. Hearts are being hardened. People's necks are becoming stiff. What's happening? We are following in the same footsteps as a civilization, as humanity is following. And the Bible says in the book of Genesis, and every way of man was evil continually, and violence covered the whole face of the earth before the flood of Noah. Here's what I want to read you something, and then we're going to close with this segment. So what is the warning of Noah to the final generation? In the book of Hebrews 11:7, it says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, he moved with godly fear, and he prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Friends, this is what I want to tell you today. there may not be another flood come to the earth, because God said, I'll never wipe out the earth again of a great deluge. And because and for this, he created what we call the rainbow. We see the bow in the sky on this side of heaven. And then you go to into the third heaven, and there's a rainbow before the throne of room of God, because I believe it's a circle, because a circle is continuous. There's no end and there's no beginning. It's a continual, come on. It's a continual covenant. It's a continual promise. And God said, every time you see the bow in the sky, you're only seeing half of the covenant. You're seeing the covenant I made to you. But here in my throne room, here in the heaven of heavens, I see the other half of the covenant. I see the other half of the promise. And every time I see it, I remember the earth and its inhabitants. And I'm saying, things may get crazy and things may get bad, and I want to just wipe it out with a flood, but I cannot do that, and I will not do that, because I've made a covenant with the earth that I would never destroy it of a flood again. But friends, I come by to tell you today that he says there is a second judgment coming. There's coming a tribulation period. There's coming the wrath of God. There's coming the bowl judgments. There's coming the vile judgments. There's coming a time that, unless the days had been shortened, no flesh would survive. These are days that has not ever been seen since the creation of time. Peter said, he said that these will be days when the heavens and the earth shall, with a great sound, God will begin to renovate the heavens and the earth with fire. He will purge the heaven and earth. And I'm telling you, we're warning people of things that they have never seen, things that we read about. We warn them, and we're divinely warning the generation. God's coming back. Judgment's coming. God will not strive with this forever. He's not going to put up with this forever. He's not going to turn his head. He's not going to turn his eye away from the shedding of innocent blood forever. He's not going to ignore, come on, legalized abominations. He's not going to ignore violence in the earth. He's not going to ignore all these things that was once happened in the days of Noah, that are resurfacing in the days of the Son of Man. And we, just like Noah, come on somebody, are divinely warning a generation of things not yet seen, but we're moving with godly fear. And we may not be in our backyard building a physical ark, but we are preparing a spiritual ark. What am I talking about? I'm talking about as long as we can, as long as we have breath in our lungs, come on, as long as we have the capability of technology and the resources to do it, we are to divinely warn a generation to repent, to get right, to turn from their sin, turn from their abomination, turn from their wickedness, and put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, Acts 16:31, here's the thing. Noah and his whole family was spared in the ark. And I've got good news for you. According to the book of Acts 16:31, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you and your whole household shall be saved. Come on, God don't just want you in the ark. He don't want just you saved. He wants your spouse. He wants your children. He wants your grandchildren. He wants your aunt, your uncle, your nieces, your cousins, your brothers, your sisters. He wants your crazy neighbors. And he wants that ornery boss that you've got, that you work with, that you can't stand. He even wants him in the ark. So my question today is, what are we going to do about this message today? If we know these things and we know history, and history will speak again, we have a mandate. We have a responsibility. And just like Noah, and I'm going to say even as Methuselah, warned their generation, 120 years, guys, nearly four generations went by and nothing happened. Not a raindrop. The earth didn't shake. There wasn't lightning from heaven. Come on, none of this. Everything went as normal. No wonder the Bible says that in the last days, because of the lust of their flesh. Come on, there will be mockers and scoffers that will say, where is the promise of his coming? Things are going on as they've always gone. So listen, we have a choice today, my friend. We can't become discouraged with that. We can't become discouraged because we've heard, oh, I've heard this my whole life and this. Come on, man. I'm provoking somebody that's listening today, listening by podcast, listening by YouTube, listening by Facebook. Stay on the wall, watchman. Keep warning, prophet. Keep preaching, evangelist. Keep shepherding, pastor. Keep building, apostle. Keep doing what God has called you to do. Keep occupying till he comes. Come on. I'm going to leave you with this verse of scripture. And then I'm going to give you some information here. Matthew 24:42-44. This is Matthew 24:42-44. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Do you believe that today? Come on, I want you to just amen me or something. I know, you know, I can't hear you, but I believe that I can hear you by faith. Amen the word of God today in Jesus' name. Come on, I want to pray with you real quick, and then we're going to give you some information on our ministry. Father, I pray for those watching today, those listening today. Lord, maybe there's some people that have been invited into this podcast or invited into this broadcast somehow, or they've stumbled on this, or maybe they watched this whole thing and their hearts are not right with you. They're away from you. They're not where they should be. Lord, I'm asking that you, Holy Spirit, would penetrate that camera, penetrate go through that device in which they're listening today. And Lord, that you would penetrate their heart, that you would prick their heart, convict them and arrest them and charge them and quicken them by the Holy Spirit today. Lead them back to you today. Lord, if they're willfully living in sin, I pray that they would repent right where they're at, repent of their sins, turn from their sins and turn to you, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and put their faith and put their trust in you and you alone. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus, Lord, that covers all of our sins. You said if any man sins, you said you're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And maybe you're watching this today and you've never given your heart to the Lord. We want to invite you today. Again, if you will repent where you're at, and that means to turn from your ways, turn from the things you've been doing and put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation and put your faith and trust in him. Let him guide you. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Get into your word. Find a local Bible believing, spirit filled operating church. If you don't have a home church, we welcome you right here. I will do my best to teach you, equip you, and inform you. And we welcome you to the family today. Again, if you do not have a home church, we'd never want to pull people out of church. And we encourage you to find a local church in your area. Again, but I know and I understand that that's not the case for everybody. And again, if you do not have a local church and a local body of believers to gather with, we welcome you to this family right now. We welcome you to this ministry. And we will do our best to help and nourish and equip you in the word of God and help you continually serve the Lord until he comes back or we go on to be with the Lord. In Jesus' name, come on. And everybody said amen and amen. EndTimeHeadlines.org, EndTimeHeadlines.com. Guys, that's where you're going to find us. That's our homepage. Again, if you'd like to know more about our ministry and more information, you can subscribe to us. If you go to the main website, there's going to be a place you can subscribe. You'll get one daily digest in your inbox. If you'd like to do an email, again, one digest. If you do not have our official ETH app, you can download that for absolutely free on the Android Play Store or the Apple Store. Again, it is free. Download the app, get it into your hands today on tablet or mobile devices. If you wish to be a blessing to this ministry. Perhaps this ministry has been a continual source of information, revelation, encouragement, equipping on a weekly basis. And you would like to help support us, because again, all these messages are free. Our email digest is free. Our app is free. Everything is free for you guys. All we ask is that if the Holy Spirit puts it upon your heart, or if you've been blessed and you say, you know what, I am continually blessed by this ministry, and you say, I've been blessed by this ministry, and I just want to give back. I want to help support them and continue, because we do this by your generous support to remain strong, continue to do this, okay, through your partnership. You can do this either a one-time gift, or you can partner with us on a monthly basis of whatever the Lord puts on your heart. And again, if you don't have a local church and you consider this to be your local church, we ask that you be faithful in your tithes and your offerings. Again, that's between you and the Lord. And we don't manipulate people here. We just ask that you be obedient to the Holy Spirit. So again, to give, you simply go, you can go to the app and give, you can go to the main website. There's a place there you can give, and all that's going to be there. And you can give by check or money order. The address and all that information is going to be right there on your screen, or at the main website at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. So guys, we're going to sign off for today. It is Wednesday, the 23rd. We are going to be off until Monday, because I listen, Christmas is coming up. Christmas Eve is tomorrow. Christmas Day is Friday. So we're going to go ahead and take off. So from before we sign out today, I just want to, from all of us here at End Time Headlines, from my family to yours, we want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. And again, be safe, be blessed. We love you guys. And again, we appreciate all of our partners and supporters. And again, if you're new here, again, we hope you stick around. We believe you'll be blessed by our ministry. So until Monday, guys, God bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his countenance shine upon you. And Lord, I ask that you be with them in all their travels. Lord, bless them coming in, bless them going out, keep them from harm, danger, or any disabling accidents. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you Monday.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.